Our scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. There's two ways that I could talk to people today. First, I could speak to you all, plural. I could say things like, God loves you. Jesus died for you. God wants you to pray and tithe and support the mission of work of this church. This is your church. Other statements are true, and that way of speaking works. By talking to you, plural, I can get my message across to a lot of people, and you'll hear it. Speaking to all of you at once is also safe. There's only so much detailed information that I can give to a group of this size. When dealing with groups of people, we tend to speak in generalities. Each week, I start out to lay out before you concepts drawn from Scripture and hope and pray that you will latch on to them and apply them in your own situations and in this church and in this community. That tends to be how sermons work. It's only through the grace and interaction of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that God's message becomes my message, becomes your message, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's not so much how the Holy Spirit is at working in the delivery of that message, but rather how involved it is in the process of thinking and praying and reading and writing his message during the week. Now, the other way that I could talk to you today is one-on-one. I could speak to you singularly, to Jay, to Calvin, to Roberta, or to Mary. Instead of speaking in generalities, I could speak with you about specifics. God loves you, John. Jesus died for you, Linwood. This is your church, Myron. God wants you to serve him, Bob. God wants you to pray and tithe and support the mission of this church, Donna. These now become personal statements. By speaking to you as individuals, we break below the surface of generalities into the real stuff of faith. God loves you. How do you know? How does that affect you personally? What does it mean to you to acknowledge that Christ died for you? Speaking one-on-one like that is much more risky than speaking in a great sweeping statements to a large crowd. Speaking one-on-one involves relationships and trust and honesty. You can't hide in face-to-face, soul-to-soul communication. I think Jesus knew this all too well. In today's gospel story, we find him in the synagogue on Sabbath. He's teaching a bunch of people, not unlike what's going on here today. And then suddenly, he catches sight of a woman, one person out of that crowd who had a need different from the rest. Jesus stops his sermon teaching and calls her over to him. A general group message just became personal. He said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight and then began praising God. And that's the way it is most of the time. Most of the time we're just moseying along, minding our own business, doing our own thing, and hiding out in the crowd, and then all of a sudden Jesus calls us by name. Sadly, though, we can be so unattentive to helping God build His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven that we miss that call. It goes right by us. I believe that's the way Jesus works best, one-on-one, face-to-face, soul-to-soul. I believe that's the way that Jesus knows He has our full attention. He calls us out from the group, and He deals with us only, one at a time. He calls us by name. Imagine that. Out of the billions of people on the earth, Jesus calls you, each one of you, by name. He knows us that well. We just sang the song that begins softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. He's calling for you and for me. In fact, He knows us so well that He's able to look at us and see just what we need as an individual and where we are and where we need straightening. Perhaps physically straightened as the woman in the story. Perhaps spiritually straightened. Spiritually straightened if we are heading in astray, going awry, growing weary, figuring out that we've got it made. I've done my share of the work around here. It's time for somebody else to do it. He knows us so well that He's able to look at us and see just what we need, emotionally or psychologically. Jesus wants us to be whole. Jesus wants us to know Him one-on-one. As much as He did die for us, all of us, plural, He also died for us individually, for you, for me, for each one of us. He cares that much about us. Jesus calls us by name, individually. And therefore, as individuals, we need to respond to Jesus. Jesus calls us by name. That's great. But we must respond to that call for a relationship to exist. It was entirely possible that the woman in the story could have chosen to ignore Jesus. She could have just turned and walked away. After all, she had lived with her infirmity for 18 years, and I guess that by that time she was pretty much used to it. She probably figured out how to work around it. She might have had family to help her. It probably earned her a fair bit of sympathy. You know, being healed would dramatically change the way that she lived her life. And not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. After all, God had allowed this infirmity to happen to her, right? So where was God? Why should she believe in a loving, caring God in the midst of her pain and suffering for all these years? Why hadn't God made her well before now? Those are strong emotions and hard theological questions. To be healed, especially instantly, means letting go of the anger and self-pity. Again, ways that she'd probably gotten used to feeling anger and pity. Being healed meant having to change the way she thought about God. It meant believing in a living and active healing God. She was well within her rights to just turn and walk away. And yet consider what she would have lost. She would have lost her health, real wholeness, inside and out. She would have lost her ability to praise God again. Remember that. Remember what I've said before. If we ever expect to see God, we better see Him now. If we don't, there's no promise of ever seeing him in the future, in eternity. And yes, there would be change if we saw God now. If we saw him right now, she could no longer be who she was before, neither could we. But who would want to be the same in the face of who we are now and the glorious possibilities that we know of in a relationship with Christ? In response to being called personally, this woman in our story today responded personally. And there's a model there for us. When Jesus calls us by name, as I believe he does, we too have the choice whether to respond or not. And just because you've heard Jesus call you by name when you were young, or when you had time to give to him, or when you were on fire with his love, doesn't mean that you're in there, that you've got it made, that you've paid in advance the premium on your go-to-heaven policy. Should we hold on to who we are now and the ways that we have become accustomed to living, or will we be willing to risk losing those for new ways, for God ways, for kingdom ways? Choosing to turn our backs on Jesus and walk away, or stand before him face to face in relationship, that's the question. So which will it be for you? Well, Jesus doesn't call us once. He's always at the door knocking. We are always in need of hearing him call us by name, and always in need of responding to him face to face in a relationship. You see, it was easy for the crowd in that synagogue to cheer on Jesus. There was little risk involved with that. Just as it's easy to walk out of the doors here today and shake my hand and tell me what a good sermon that was and go home unchanged. It's not easy to break out of that group mentality and respond to Jesus as a single person. The preacher says God loves you, and everyone in the congregation nods, yes. But when Jesus says to you, I died for you, what do you think of that? It's not so easy anymore, is it? When the preacher says, love your neighbor, again, everybody nods, yeah, we can do that. But when Jesus responds personally to you and asks you something like, what about old Mr. So-and-so that you saw in the store and ignored the other day? I love him too, you know. Did you even speak to him? Did you even break a smile as his eyes caught yours? Now it's getting a little messy. And when we realize how we aren't really listening to Jesus, then we have to admit our need for Jesus' forgiveness and for his grace. But then we're dealing on a one-to-one basis with Jesus. Then we have a real relationship with our Savior. Then we are being our real self when we respond to his calling. So having said all that, I guess I have a challenge for you today. Do you hear Jesus calling you personally? If you don't, I would hope that you try, that you pray. And the next time you feel Jesus speaking to you, be willing to risk responding in a personal way. Don't just pretend it isn't him speaking. Don't ignore his voice. Don't choose to turn away. Say yes, face to face, person to person, soul to soul. Yes, Lord, your servant is ready. Jesus loves me, this I know. Because he calls me individually. because He knows what I really need, because He offers it to me freely if I'm willing to accept it. Consider the challenge. The next time you feel Jesus speaking to you, respond with your personal yes. Think back about the sermons that have been meaningful to you. What made them stand out from the rest? Were they group-oriented, or was the message personal for you? In your praying this week, pray with a personal Savior. Instead of Lord or God, use Father or Jesus or sweet friend. See how that changes the way you pray. When you read the Bible, put your name in the verse. Instead of reading how the Lord called to Saul or Samuel, read how the Lord called to Mark or Donna or Phyllis or Bill. God is calling you, each one of you, personally. And only as you respond will the kingdom of God be on earth as it is in heaven. Know that God calls you and loves you. Know also the joy that comes from responding to His love and sharing His love with others.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you